Hey everybody, thanks for checking out the video. My name is Miggy McDonald, better known online as Scruffy Fern, and in today's video, I want to show you something really cool, and that's how you can set up and get started with Microsoft Cognitive Services APIs. Specifically, I'm going to show you how to get started using the Emotion API. So here I am at the Microsoft Cognitive Services website, which you can get to by going to microsoft.com/cognitive-services, or just do a quick little Bing search. And what the cognitive services are is a collection of APIs that allow some really cool intelligent interaction with computers. So things like machine-powered AI, machine learning, things like that. So these APIs, they're basically a collection of a bunch of different APIs. Some things like ones that work with vision, some work with speech, language, and search. So like all the Bing search APIs belong to the cognitive services or under the cognitive services umbrella. So the one that we're going to focus on today, and I want to show you just a quick little demo on how you get started, is the Emotion API, which belongs under Vision. The other ones are really, really simple. Like, it's unbelievable how fast you can get started with all of these. So feel free to, you know, take a look at a bunch of them and see how you can combine them. I totally recommend checking out the speech recognition. It's amazing what you can do with that there. So yeah, we're going to focus on the Emotion one, but to get started, you have to sign up on the site, and just you can get started for free. It doesn't cost anything to use these APIs until you start to go over a certain threshold, and each API has a different threshold, but they're all explained in the documentation. You can get to that really, really easy. So yeah, if you click Get Started for Free, this will bring up a site that basically asks you to subscribe, and you just request which APIs you want access to. So once you click Let's Go, you'll sign in with your Microsoft account. It'll ask you which ones you know you're interested in. Of course, the one that we're going to be using is the Emotion API again, so make sure you do select that one. But you can select as many as you like, and once you click Go Ahead, it'll return basically a subscription list with all of the keys that you're going to need. So I've already done that, so if I click the Let's Go here, it should just sign me in and show me my subscriptions. So here are all the subscriptions that I have access to. And again, the one that I'm focusing on is the Emotion preview one there. So we'll come back to the site shortly just because we're going to need our key. So we'll just minimize that. But to get started, I'm going to jump into Visual Studio. All right, so I'm using Microsoft Visual Studio 2015. This one is the professional version, but you know, community version, which is free for up to 5 users, will work perfectly fine for this. So if you don't have that, you can go ahead and install it. So to get started, we're just going to go over to here to a new project, or you can go to File, New, and select Project, whichever works better for you. And inside here, what we're going to do is, if these are all closed up, let's just pretend they were all closed up there. What I want to do is select Visual C Sharp. That's what I'm going to code this in. There are examples for JavaScript for all the APIs, so if you're more comfortable with JavaScript, you can check that out as well. But what we want to do here is go to the Universal tab. If you don't have this, it probably means that you don't have the UWP SDK installed, Windows 10 SDK. So make sure you go ahead and install that. It should list Universal here, and that's part of the UWP. If you haven't heard of what UWP is, let me give you a really quick 5-second overview. Basically, what it allows you to do, and it stands for Universal Windows Platform, it allows you to build one app and deploy it on a bunch of different devices that run Windows 10. So as you can see down here in the icon, you know, things like a phone, tablet, Surface, laptops, desktops. You can run it on the Xbox, so you could have this on your living room TV. HoloLens is part of UWP, IoT devices. So very, very cool stuff, and that's why I wanted to show you how to do this with a Universal Windows app. So I'm going to select blank app. I'm just going to pick a better place to store this. Let's call the, we'll call a new folder here. Let's call this demo and select that folder. Then what I can do is just give it a quick name. I'm just going to call this demo app. There we go. It'll ask us what we're trying to target. I'm just going to leave those as default and target all the different Windows 10 versions. And this is going to just basically create a completely blank app, which is perfect for what we need. So we start out, it opens up our app, XAML.cs. We don't need that right now. What we do need to do is install a few of the SDKs that we are going to need to use. And to do that, we're going to use the NuGet Packet Manager. And I won't go into detail exactly what NuGet is. But basically, it's a packet manager, just like a lot of different ones. You know, if you've used Node and like the Node Packet Manager, very similar concept. So what we're going to do here is we're going to need a few things. And if I click Browse, the first one we need, and it shows up in my list, but I'll just show you how you can get to it if it doesn't show up in your list. We want the NewtonSoft JSON.json. So this basically is a high-performance JSON framework for .NET, which is absolutely awesome, and we need that for some of the things that the cognitive services are going to work with. And then here, we just select what we want to add it to, what project, and then install. Doesn't take too long. Let's click OK. So once that's finished, the other one that we need is the Emotion API. So we can get to that by typing in Project Oxford, which is a bunch of different APIs, which is part of the Microsoft Cognitive Services. And I know it's a little weird because it's called Project Oxford, but that's kind of like the code name for it. So the one that we want is the Emotion right there. So we'll select this one, and again, just make sure you're app is selected and click install, and that will go ahead and install all the needed pieces to work with the Emotion API. So we're all done there. Now what we can do is we'll go back over here and we'll open up our main page XAML. So this will let us design the look of our GUI. If you haven't done any work with XAML, it's actually fairly easy to get started and fairly familiar if you're used to working with a WYSIWYG setup for making GUIs. So what's really cool, again, like I said, UWP works on a bunch of different apps. So what we can do here is we can select pretty much anyone that we want to see like a scale and resolution. Of course, I'm going to be working on a desktop, so I'm just going to select the 23-inch desktop. You can go all the way up to, you know, like full 42-inch screens and Surface Hubs, which are, you know, the giant, awesome Surface devices and, you know, tablets and everything. But again, I'm just going to select desktop here. And then I'll just zoom out a little bit more just so I can kind of see everything. So this is like my blank canvas for my GUI. So if I go over here to Toolbox, I have a bunch of different things that I can add. So what we're going to need right away is we're going to need basically a source for the Emotion, right? So we could do things like video, we could do still images that we have saved on the hard drive, things like that. And the API will work with a bunch of different methods. You could patch like a URL to the API and it'll do work. But in our case, what I want to do is actually take a picture with the camera built into the device, whatever device you're using, and then send that picture up to the API and return the emotions based on that. So a couple things that we're gonna need. First of all, we're gonna need a place to store our image. So I'm just gonna grab an image tool here and lay it out. I'm gonna call this, you know, let's leave it as image, but I'm gonna change the width and height. I'm gonna set this to height 200, we'll set the width to 200 as well. And we'll just kind of position that up here. Not too worried about how it looks. I'll leave that to you guys to make it a lot more pretty than this. So what else are we gonna need? Well, we're gonna need an output because we're gonna need some place to basically print out you know, messages and of course print out our emotion messages. So in order to do that, I'm just gonna, you know what? Let's just drop in a text box. So if I scroll down here, let's just go ahead and drop in a text box, box. I'm going to rename this output. So I'll just change that to output. And this is the variable name that will give us access to it. And then what we will do is we'll just kind of drag this over and line it up with the top of the other box there. And we might as well make it 200 by 200 as well, right? Off a little bit. And we'll just set it to 200 by 200. Okay, so there we go. Now we have our image and our output. You know, let's move those a little closer together. So image and output. Then of course we might as well have a few buttons to, you know, to do something here. So if we click a button, it'll do our bidding. So we'll add a one button, and we'll call this button take photo. So this button is going to go ahead and when we click it, it'll be the button that'll take the photo and populate our display image here. So we'll change the content of that button to say take a photo. So now our button. Oh, what did I do wrong there? Oh, missed the equal sign. There we go. So now our button says take a photo, and we can kind of zoom in a little bit here because we're not using up the whole canvas anyway. So there we go. A little bit more. All right, so now our button says take a photo. And then we might as well add one more button, and this button will actually basically get the emotion. So we'll call this one get emotion. All right, and this one we will call check emotion. All right, so there's our simple little GUI layout. Nothing, you know, too complicated here, very easy. Now, what's really cool is if I double-click these, it'll actually stub in the code that I need for working with the button. So, you know what? I'm a little lazy. Why not go ahead and do that? So this will create our take photo click. So on click, this is the function that will fire off. Okay. Now, to get started, we're going to need access to a few things. So we're going to add a couple of using statements to get started with. The first one that we're going to need, and this is because I want access to the camera and everything, is, so we'll do using windows.media and capture, which will give us access to working with the camera. We're also going to store the image. Now, the way I'm going to set this up is a little bit different, but just for the sake of having everything we need, let's go ahead and add windows. Storage, which will give us access to saving things on the hard drive. What else do we need? We need using Windows graphics and then imaging. We also need access to the one that works for the XAML. So we'll do Windows dot UI XAML dot media imaging. So that'll give us access to being able to work with anything that XAML, the XAML imaging processing and stuff like that, which will come in very handy. And the last thing we'll need is some streams to work with our picture. So we'll do Windows storage streams. And that'll give us access to the stream when we take the picture and stuff, which is actually really fairly easy to get started with. Okay. So let's get this taking a picture to begin with. So the first thing we need, let's create a couple of public variables here. Let's go camera. So what we need is a camera capture UI. This will give us the ability when we click the button to open up the built-in UI for taking pictures, which is really, really handy, and it'll let you do a couple of cool things like cropping and stuff like that. So we'll create one of these. We'll call it capture UI. And we might as well define it right here. I know this might not be the best way of doing things, but this is a little demo, so not too worried about it. And then we need a place to store our photo. So we'll create a storage file. And this will be the actual file that we'll use to store the photo. And we'll just call this one photo, since it makes sense. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to actually, when we take the picture, we're going to pass the stream, the raw stream, directly to the Cognitive Services API, because it does take streams and it works a little bit easier, less coding that way. And for the case of our app, it works just fine. But we can also save the file to the hard drive and then select it and upload it as well. But you know, like I said, we want to do it as quickly as possible for this little demo. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a random access stream, and this is going to be the image stream that we will use when we're creating our photo and passing our photo to the Cognitive Services API. All right, so a couple other things that we need. So let's go ahead and set up some settings for our camera capture UI. Basically, what we want to do is we want to set up the format that we're going to use. So we'll say capture UI dot photo settings dot format. So format will allow us to specify what we want to save the photo as, and in our case I'm going to say camera capture photo format, and we'll pick JPEG out of the list. You can also do PNG or whatever else works, but in our case JPEG's just fine. And something else that we can do is we can basically, the camera capture UI comes up and lets you kind of crop the photo and edit the photo a little bit before you save it. So what we'll do is, because we're our image is going to be showed in a 200 by 200 size on our screen, I'm going to set it up to auto crop to that. So what we can say here is we'll go to photo settings again, and then we'll say cropped aspect rate, or sorry, cropped size in pixels, and then we can define a new size, and we will give that 200 by 200. So that's going to auto set the UI to crop for us, which is kind of cool. Okay. So now that we have that set up, we can actually go ahead and take the photo asynchronously. But in order to call await functions from inside of a method, you have to basically set it up as an async method. So that's really, really simple for us to do. Go ahead and search that if you're looking for a little bit more information on async. And then this allows us to set up asynchronous functions and use the await keyword. So we're going to actually do that. What I'm going to do is, I love try catches. So what we'll do is we'll create a try here, and we'll do a simple catch all down here. And then in our try catch, what we'll do is we'll try to save a photo to our storage location, which we called photo. So we'll just say photo. And then we'll say await capture UI. And then we can actually say capture file asynchronously. And then it just asks for a mode. So what kind of mode that you want to save it in. And in our case, we want to save it as a photo, not a video. If you set it up as photo or video, then the user gets to choose how they're going to save this. But in our case, like I said, we want it to be a photo. So we just define it photo. So that'll try that, and if it doesn't work, if we spit back anything, since we already have an output, that's our text box, let's say output, and we'll say the text in our output, text, is now going to print out error taking photo. So that way if we get an error taking our photo, that will print out. Alright, so this will actually take the photo, and if we run this on our local machine now, and we click the take a photo button, it'll bring up the take a photo UI. So I can actually go ahead and click this, and as you can see, it auto crops it. That's 200 by 200 for us. Horrible picture. And then we click apply. That'll actually save, but right now we don't have it actually displaying. So we saved the photo, but it doesn't do us any good. So let's go ahead and put that in. Okay, so to do that, fairly simple, but what we're going to do here is we'll create, actually I'll do it up in here. So after we've tried to create a photo, we'll do a quick little check to see if our photo is null. Now if our photo is equal to null, chances are that basically means that the user quit out. So we could do something here later on. I'll just say user canceled. Okay, and then all we'll do here is we'll just return real quick so we jump out of this. All right. Now if the photo is not null, which means they've actually gone ahead and created the photo, let's add a little else here. We're going to go ahead and fill up our stream. Now, like I said before, we'll use the stream and we'll actually pass that on later. So this line of code is the probably the most important part. And what we'll do here, again, we'll do this asynchronously if we can. So photo, and then we'll say open async, and we will pass in what the file mode is, so our file access mode, so file access, and in this case we're just going to read, we're not going to change the photo, so we don't need write access. So what that'll do is it'll open up the photo that we just took, it'll open up the stream, it'll take the photo out of that and pass that to the image stream, and then we can do some stuff with the image stream. And what we'll do here is we're going to convert this to a bitmap. So we'll use a bitmap decoder, we'll call this decoder, and again we're trying to do this as best we can, and we'll use bit decoder create async, and this is going to go ahead and we'll pass it our image stream, and this will create our bitmap decoder, basically taking that stream, putting it into the decoder. And then what we could do is create a software bitmap to store the bitmap. Maybe we'll call this soft. There is a far better explanation of all these steps online if you want to do a search on that as well. And await decoder. And then we will get the software bitmap from our decoder. So there we go. Now we have a software bitmap, and then we can actually go ahead and convert that to a BGR8 style bitmap. Again, I'm not going to really get into the differences here, but this will make it a little bit better for displaying. And again, we need a software bitmap, and we will convert our already existing bitmap, which is our software bitmap, and then we pass in the format that we want to convert to. So in this case, it will be a pixel format dot BGR8, like I said there, and then the last one that you pass in is the alpha mode, which is like the blending mode for transparency. And in this case, we will just pass the pre-multiplied. Don't worry about too much about what that means. Kind of magic, we'll just leave it at that. All right, so one last thing we need to do is set up our bitmap source. And all these are all what we're doing here. Oh, sorry. Getting ahead of myself. New bitmap source. And then we will use this to set our bitmap. And then pass in our converted version. And there we go. All that will basically build a nice little BGR Alpha 8 blended bitmap, which will display very nicely on our screen. And then what we can do, now that we've done all this, we can say image, which is our image controller or image source there, and we will tell it its source, going dot source, is set to our bitmap source. So basically all we're saying there is that bitmap that we just created with those six lines of code up there, we're going to now set that little image box that we created on our XAML to the same source. So now, if we run our program again, and we click take photo, take a quick photo here, and click save, it will now display in our image box. So yeah, six lines of, like, we'll call it magic code. If you want, you can go ahead and search it online, like I said, and it'll tell you a little bit more. But all that will go ahead and save the image for us there. So awesome. Now we have our image. Not too bad. Didn't take too long. Now what we're going to do is hook it up so that we can actually pass this to the emotion, Microsoft Cognitive Emotions API, and it's going to return what it thinks the emotion of the picture, the person in the picture is. So it does some really cool stuff. It tracks the face and basically does some analytics on it and, you know, using machine learning, and returns what kind of emotions on a scale of between 0 and 1 for each emotion, which is really, really cool. So now to get started with that, we're going to have to add a couple more using statements. And these ones are because we want to use the Project Oxford stuff or Microsoft Cognitive Services. So we say Microsoft.ProjectOxford. Now, if Project Oxford doesn't show up, that means you didn't install the NuGet packets. So go ahead and scroll back a little bit in the video there, and I'll show you. It'll show you how to install that. And then what we want is we want the emotion stuff, and we also need a emotion contract, which will give us everything that we need to send up our photo and return an emotion result. Okay. So those are our using statements. Now, we'll create a couple more variables here. First, let's create a const variable, so const, and this will be a string. And this string is going to be our API key. So this is the key that we're going to use when we make the call. Now, in order to use this, again, let's open up our thing here. You have two keys, either one will work. All you have to do is click copy, and it will automatically copy it to your clipboard. So I'm just gonna use key one here for my emotions. And again, you can get to this by going to microsoft.com/cognitive-services and signing in, and it'll give you a list of all your subscription keys. And I'm just gonna go ahead and paste that in there. And yes, I know people on the stream are going, oh my God, you gave away your key, but I promise you I will change it as soon as I am done recording. So it will not be the same key, because you can actually regenerate the keys if you need to. So there's my API key, and we'll use that momentarily. The next thing we need is the Emotion Services client. So this is gonna do all the heavy lifting for us when we want to go ahead and talk to the Emotion Services API server. So I'm going to call this Emotion Service Client. We'll be very verbose here. And then we make a new, we might as well assign it over here, Emotions Client. Now when you do this, it's going to ask for your subscription key. Now we could do this inside of a function if you wanted to allow other users to add their key and run a demo themselves. But in our case, we don't need to worry about that because I already have it up here. So I will just pass in API key. So it takes a string as its parameter. Okay, so now that we have that, we might as well create an emotion array. Now the emotion array is going to be for our result. So when we return, because you can get more than one face in a picture, and it'll actually return the emotions for every face that it sees. So it actually returns an emotion array. So it's actually in JSON format, which is really, really cool. But in our case, we'll just say emotion results. Oh, jeez, I can't type today. Okay, so that'll be our emotion result array. And we will use that when we return. Now, what we can do is actually go ahead and set up our emotion. But we need to do that is we wanted to do that on click when we click our check emotions. So we'll go back to our XAML here, and I'm just going to double click the check emotions. Oop. There we go. And it goes ahead and it stubs in our code for us, which is really, really handy. So this will be our on click. And again, I want to do this, some of the code in here is going to be async. So I'm just going to make this an async function so that I can use my await keyword. And again, because I love try catches, I will make another try catch. A little catch all here. Now, if we have an issue, if there's a problem, we might as well just tell our output, say, hey, output. You know what, we've had, if we hit here, if we get try and we have an exception, which is what this is, a try does whatever the code inside the try block does, and if it returns an exception, your catch can grab it, and you can write, you know, different catches for different exceptions. Again, check out the quick little Bing search if you want information on that. So I'll just say there was an error returning the emotion. Okay. So, close that out. All right. So, Can't just say output. We have to say output.txt. Just assign the text inside. All right. So, believe it or not, this is really, really simple to do. So all we have to do here is say our emotion result, which is the emotion array that we created before at the top, is going to be filled, and we'll do this using the await function, using our emotion service client dot recognize async. Now, like I said, we're using this photo. There is ways to do it via video. Check out the Microsoft Cognitive Web Services website documentation. It has a great little demo on how to do that as well. But all we need to do is say is recognize async, and we can pass in a few different things. In our case, we're just going to pass in an image stream. As you can see right off the bat, it can take a stream, an image stream. It can also take a image URL. And then you can also do a couple of different things. You can, you know, specify which face, using a rectangle, which one you're trying to get the emotion for, if you only want to grab one. And again, you can do that with the URL as well. But in our case, we'll just try and grab whatever we can. But we'll only print out for one face anyway. So what we'll say here is image stream, which is that stream that we created up at the beginning. There, so if we go scroll back up here a little bit, we set the image stream to being our photo. So this is the raw stream before we actually do the conversion into bitmap. The bitmap conversion is just for us to print out. The emotion services really doesn't care about the bitmap. It will take a completely raw image stream, so we can do it that way. And then all we do is say as stream, so it passes it through as a raw stream, and that is all we need to do in order to get our emotion result. It'll go ahead and fire off, it'll use the client, all that's being done for us behind the scenes, no heavy lifting on our part at all, and then it'll return the emotion result as an array, which is really, really cool. So what we can do then is, if we do get an emotion, so we might as well say after our emotion. So if our emotion, and I'm just going to do this check anyway, just for safety's sake, so we just say if emotion result equals, does not equal null, sorry. So if our emotion is not null, we can do a quick little output. So what it does is emotion results will give you access to a few different things. First of all, it's an array. So in our case, we're only going to care about one face. So whatever the first face is, and if you know anything about arrays, that starts at zero. So we'll say the emotion result at array index zero. And then what we can do is we can return scores. Now, scores lists a bunch of different things. It has anger, contempt, disgust, fear, happiness, neutral, sadness, and surprise. So those are all the different emotion scores that will be returned. And again, they're returned as a normalized float, I believe, so between 0 and 1, which is very handy. But what we'll do here is I'm just going to make a little shortcut so I don't have to type this out over and over again. So I'm just going to say scores, which is a type that comes with Cognitive Services, and I'll just say is our score. And I will set that to the first index face scores. Now what we can do is just print this out. So I'm just going to say output.txt. And there is, you know, probably better ways you could do this, but for our demo, it's kind of pretty easy. So we'll just say your emotions are, and then we'll pass a new line. And then we can just print out each one that we need. So now, when we get our result, if it's not null, we're going to create a nice little long string, and we are going to pass that into the output text box. Okay, so let's go ahead and give this a shot and see what we get. All right, so it pops up. We'll click take a photo. So take a photo. There we go. Does our nice little crop. Saves it there. So there we go. There's our picture. Now if we click check emotions, it'll go ahead, and there it goes. It returns our emotions. So it looks like it thinks I'm fairly neutral. I think I'm a little bit more happy than that, but there you go. And like you can, as you can see, it returns them between a value of 0 and 1. Now, I want to show you something else, too. Because we are using a stream and this is in a saved file, the stream's actually gone now. So if I click check emotions, our try-catch works perfectly, and we get an error returning the emotion. Let's do one more photo for fun. There you go. So, ooh, thinks I'm extremely angry. I don't know, I guess that's my angry face. But there you go. Really easy, very, very simple to set up. But yeah, have some fun with it. Very, very cool set of APIs. Hopefully you have fun, as much fun with them as I do. Thank you very much for checking out the video, and happy coding.